everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Weekly Kaiju Havoc. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy. Now, before I jump into today's episode and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to go ahead and let y'all know if y'all hear any ruckus going on in the background. It is raining like there's no tomorrow here in Alexandria, Louisiana, so the dogs are inside and they're just, you know, chilling on the couch and doing their own little thing, so just... if you hear collars jingling and all that kind of stuff, that's just them doing their own little thing. But anywho, that aside, I had contemplated doing this week's Havoc to be a review for Prey. And I decided that what I was going to do was I'm going to go ahead and go through my regular Kaiju stuff, and then towards the end of the episode, I'll give my review on Prey, the new Predator film, and so that way I get to do, well, basically what I want to do, and for those of you that want to just stick around and listen to my review of Prey, then by all means you can, and for those of you that only want the Kaiju content, congratulations, all you get is the Kaiju content. So, let's jump straight into it, shall we? First of all, my Blu-ray of the 3-pack collection that I told you guys about last week, Rego, Raiga, and Oga, Giant Monsters Attack, it came in, so I have that. I've got all three films now, and I had all three films to begin with on DVD, but they were separate. But I prefer to have things on Blu-ray, and also, you know, this isn't the first time that I've owned Kaiju films separately and then get a collection of like 3 or 4 different movies or something like that, because that's just me, that's just what I do. So that came in and everything, and so let's jump straight into the poll. So you guys know over on my TikTok that the Battle of the Mechagodzillas is currently going on, and the first matchup was the original Mechagodzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2 from the Heisei era. And this past week was the animated version of Mechagodzilla versus Mechagodzilla, in which I did the very brief design for Singular Point going up against the Mechagodzilla from the anime trilogy that, you know, takes place way in the future and deals with Godzilla Earth and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't get near the amount of views or votes on this one as I did the first one. The first one I got like, 170, 180 votes, something like that. This one I got a whopping 53 votes, and it was mighty close. I mean, for a few days, they were neck and neck, 50-50. Singular Point with 26 votes, and the anime trilogy with 26 votes. And I was sitting there, you know, kind of scrambling like, oh boy. Like, what am I going to do? You know, like, one of my polls has never had a tie before. Like, how am I going to do this? But then old Robert Delaloy came in and cast his vote. So he was the deciding factor. He was the swing vote. And he voted for the Singular Point design, giving it 27 votes or 51% of the vote, compared to Anime Trilogy's 26/49% of the vote. So Singular Point Mechagodzilla is moving on to the next round, and I've only got 4 Mechagodzillas left, which will be 2 different matchups, and then after that we're going to go into I'll mix it up a little bit more, because then there will only be 4 Mechagodzillas left to vote for. But for this upcoming week, we are going to do the live action, I say live action, it was very much CGI, but the very first live action, quote unquote, appearance that Mechagodzilla had in a American production, the Mechagodzilla from Ready Player One, which I'm a big fan of that design, I very much enjoy that design, or I had to think, like, I needed another, at least one more Mechagodzilla, and I was like, man, I don't want to do like Kiryu twice, just because it appeared, or even the original Mechagodzilla twice, just because they appeared in multiple films. And then I remembered from the Godzilla, the animated series that is the direct sequel to the 1998 Godzilla film, that the original Godzilla that was in the 1998 film came back as a cyborg-like thing. And I'm like, you know what? The heck with it. That counts. Like, that's the 1998 version of Mechagodzilla in that particular little timeline. We're going with that. So, again, I will reiterate that this version of Godzilla, it's in the animated series, but this was the father of Zilla Jr. This is the Godzilla that was in the 1998 Godzilla film that was done by TriStar that ends up getting killed whenever he's shot on the bridge with the missiles and all of that kind of stuff. He was brought back in the animated series as a cyborg. And I've always thought that was really cool that they ended up bringing him back, because I'm a big fan of Zilla as well as Zilla Jr. You guys know I love the 1998 movie. I've got no problem, you know, saying anything about it. No problem whatsoever. But yeah, that's going to be the next matchup for the next week. The Ready Player One Mechagodzilla versus the animated series Mechagodzilla from the 1998 series. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, moving on. There, we've got a convention coming up in, I believe this is pronounced Killeen, Texas. K-I-L-L-E-E-N. Killeen? Kyleen? I'm not entirely sure. But it's going to be in Texas, and it's running from September 3rd and 4th, and it's called Giganticon, and we've got, there's going to be some guests there that you guys might be interested in. So I know a lot of my listeners are in Texas, so, you know, you never know, there might be something that you guys might want to check out. Matt Frank will be there. Everybody knows who Matt Frank is. He's a kaiju artist. TJ Storm will be there. He provides a lot of motion capture and things like that for certain characters in movies. He's done the motion capture for Godzilla and Godzilla 2019 King of the Monsters. He played the Predator, the Fugitive Predator. I believe it was the Fugitive Predator in the film The Predator. And he also provided the motion capture for Colossus in Deadpool. So all those guys are going to be there for Giganticon. Again, Killeen, Texas, September 3rd and 4th. I'm highly considering going. Don't know if I'm gonna. I'll let you guys know if I'm gonna. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll actually be able to meet some of my listeners. I think that would be really, really cool and all of that. Now, let's talk about YouTube for a minute. You know what? No, let's shift gears. Let's not talk about YouTube. Let's talk about my second podcast, Cal the Kaiju Guy Watches a Movie. I'm going to be honest with you guys. That podcast is not going well. And it's not for lack of listeners. Like, I have a decent amount of listeners that tune in for certain episodes and all that. Some do better than others. But, I mean, that's the case here, even with the Kaiju cast. But, guys, I'm just so busy doing other things. I mean, I'm trying to do two Kaiju cast episodes a week. I'm trying to do the YouTube on top of working 10-hour days, and my job site is like a 35-minute drive to and from work every day. So, you know, like, of my work day, not only do I work 10-hour days, but then add an additional hour to that for just simply drive time. And then by the time I get home, you know, usually Emily's home, and we start just going through, like, our nightly routines and all of that kind of stuff, like dinner, what TV show are we going to watch, and trying to plan and get ready for this wedding that's fast approaching in April and all of that kind of stuff. Like, you know, the second podcast is taking a hit, and I'm not prepared to give the type of focus to that podcast as I am the Kaiju cast or the Kaiju tube. Like, I'm just not. Like, it's always been my mindset to where, like, I want to do the YouTube, I want to do the Kaiju cast. And so, like, if anything is going to suffer, like, it's that second podcast. And I'm sorry for you guys that listened to it and enjoyed it and had been looking forward to my Jurassic World episode and all of that, but in the foreseeable future, I do not see myself having the time or dedication to really focus on that podcast like it needs to be focused on, and so it's being put on hiatus until further notice. So again, I'm sorry to you guys that actually enjoyed listening to it, learning more about other movies and all of that kind of stuff. I apologize, but I've just got too much other things going on in my life and all of that kind of stuff. I'm sure many of you people can relate to that. And yeah, so that's the news on that. So back to YouTube. I'm shifting focus on the YouTube. Like, I had been just doing, like, some unboxings, and I've done a few recordings, like, simultaneous recordings as to when I'm doing the weekly Kaiju Havoc, and I'll also post it on YouTube and all of that, but I'm just not getting the response on YouTube that I want. And also, that's not the type of videos and everything that I've always wanted to do. And so I have found out, like, I've gotten some apps and some software and stuff like that. And I'm going to actually be able, I actually got started on it yesterday. I'm putting together my very first episode for the style that I've actually wanted to do for a long time. But I just had to shell out some money and some effort and all of that. And so I'm doing that now. So keep an eye on the YouTube. There's going to be more professional looking videos coming out pretty soon. And I'll let you guys know whenever they get posted. So, all right, guys, that pretty much does it for all the Kaiju stuff. Keep in mind that my next episode that I'm going to be doing for the Kaiju cast this Saturday there's nothing really special about the episode. Like, it's basically going to be a review and all of that kind of stuff, but it is basically titled In Defense of Godzilla 1998. Because I still see a lot of people that badmouth Godzilla 1998, and the number one complaint that I see is, it's not Godzilla. No, it's not. It's not Godzilla. I've explained that in my other, you know, in my episode that I did on Godzilla 1998, and I'll be dead gummit. I'm tired of constantly seeing that film not get the recognition that it deserves. It's a decent movie, and it's probably better than what you remember it being. And so I would definitely recommend rewatching it, especially now that we know that it's absolutely not a Godzilla film. They made that creature, Zilla, its own entirely separate kaiju. So the thing of, well, it's not Godzilla. Like, yeah, you are correct. It is not. It is not recognized as Godzilla by Toho themselves. Like, there's a reason that they had a fight against each other in Godzilla Final Wars. They are two separate kaiju. So I'm basically going to try and defend the movie with everything I've got. If you guys have any questions or comments that you want to make, anything about the 1998 film that you guys want to say to me, just, you know, shoot me a message on any of my social medias and all that kind of stuff, and I will read them on the episode, and we'll sit there and talk about Godzilla 1998. And one last thing for the Kaiju stuff before I actually shift focus to Prey, and you guys get to hear me nerd out about the Predator franchise a little bit. I've got a shout out to do to an individual that has been messaging me for probably, you know, about the last 2 weeks or something like that, give or take. She's a, you know, pretty big Kaiju fan from what I gather. And she's always messaging me. I get multiple messages a day, asking me questions, telling me, like, what she agrees with what I said, what her favorite episodes are, and all of that kind of stuff. Her Reddit is called Dragon Crystal. There's an underscore in between Dragon and Crystal. So that's the shout-out that she wanted me to use. So Dragon Crystal on Reddit. Go check it out. And she had a question for me that I answered, and I asked if I could going ahead and do this, you know, put the question on the next episode and all of that kind of stuff. And she said, sure. She asked me who I think would win in a fight against, like, Pacific Rim Jaegers or Godzilla in any particular era of Godzilla or anything like that. I'm going to go on ahead and say that I might dedicate an entire episode to that question at one point in time, and I might get Kid Kong and Ian to jump in on it as well. But just for the sake of answering that question right then and there, whenever she asked me, I was like, okay, we're going to use the legendary version of Godzilla, you know, that we've basically seen in the MonsterVerse, versus the Jaegers that were in the original Pacific Rim film. Now, I am very comfortable in saying that of all the Jaegers that are in the original Pacific Rim, one-on-one, just a straight-up one-versus-one fight, Godzilla versus them, who would win? Godzilla's got it. That's just my opinion on the matter. I don't think there's a single Jaeger that we saw in that movie that would be able to stack up against Godzilla one versus one. This is why I'm thinking about like dedicating an entire episode to it, because it's just what if scenarios that you can talk about and all of that kind of stuff, is Gypsy Danger, Cherno Alpha. You know, they're nuclear powered. So would Godzilla be able to feed off of their radiation if he went up against Gypsy Danger or Cherno Alpha and render them useless because he took all of their nuclear energy, which would therefore even make him a little bit more powerful because he absorbed their nuclear energy, in which then, you know, the next Jaeger that's going to go up against him is not going to fare very well at all. The only Jaeger in the original film that I see standing a decent chance against Godzilla would be Stryker Eureka, because it was a Mark V. It was fast. Like, it's faster than what we've seen Godzilla be able to move in the MonsterVerse and all that. He can move very quick, has a very good arsenal. I mean, if you think about it, the only kaiju that we really saw give Stryker Eureka any problem was Slattern. That whenever they go down to the bottom, you know, to try and drop the bomb and all of that kind of stuff, and the very first Category 5 kaiju breaches. And I would honestly say that the only reason Slattern actually gave Stryker any trouble was because they were underwater. Like, they were very much in the kaiju's element. If that battle took place on land or in water, like whenever Stryker, Cherno Alpha, and Crimson Typhoon go up against Leatherback and Otachi, you know, where to the Jaegers, the water is only about knee level or waist level or something like that, I think Stryker would have done a whole lot better. If the fight actually took place on land, Stryker would have been able to take Slattern, in my opinion. But, so Stryker is the only Jaeger that I really see putting up a decent fight against Godzilla one versus one from the original film. But even then, I still see Godzilla coming out on top. Now, here's the thing. If you put Godzilla up against all of the Jaegers, we'll just even use just the main ones. You know, we won't even talk about Coyote Tango or, you know, any of the others that were earlier in the film and all that kind of stuff. Just the main Jaegers towards the middle slash end of the film, which is Gypsy Danger, Stryker Eureka, Cherno Alpha, and Crimson Typhoon. If you had all four of those Jaegers coming at Godzilla at one whack, the Jaegers are going to get it. And hear me out, okay? I've talked to you guys before about how, you know, I'm a Godzilla fan. He's in my top three favorite kaiju of all time. You guys know that. But I'm also a realist whenever it comes to Godzilla. I am not one of those fans that will just sit there and be like, oh, he's king of the monsters, or he's the most unstoppable kaiju, or he's a force of nature. You know, like, I'm not about that, okay? Like, I'm a realist whenever I look at certain kaiju versus Godzilla or certain mechs versus Godzilla, and I can look at something and determine whether or not, okay, like, if Godzilla's going to win that fight or not. Which I've brought this up before, to where like it irks me, like there's no tomorrow, whenever Godzilla fans get so upset whenever you even just mention the mere thought of him losing a fight. And I just want to look at him and be like, he's lost to a moth. Like, you know, like Mothra. Mind you, Mothra is, you know, I don't know how I feel about this nickname. She has pretty much been dubbed the queen of the monsters. But, you know, yeah, Mothra's awesome. Mothra can handle her own. Mothra has done some pretty impressive things in her time on screen and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, she's not just an ordinary moth. But at the end of the day, it's like, just think about it. Godzilla is going up against a gorilla, a giant gorilla. He's won one, he's lost one, so their record's even. He does not hold a single one-on-one victory against King Ghidorah unless there was outside interference in Godzilla's favor. Like, not a single one. Like, there's been numerous kaiju that has pushed him to his limits and flat out beaten him. So, I don't understand why they get so upset whenever you actually talk about, like, he has official losses on his record. Okay? Like, I mean, it happens. But, anywho. The reason I say the Jaegers would be able to overwhelm Godzilla is because, one, they're freaking bred to fight and kill kaiju. They do not focus on just regular weapons. We've seen Godzilla time and time again that regular weapons like missiles and bullets and things like that have very little to no effect on him. But Striker Eureka, as well as Gypsy in particular, have bladed weapons. Now, one thing that I'm going to say that would work in their favor, think about Godzilla versus Kong, which so many people love to say that's the definitive version of Godzilla versus Kong. So if we're going with a monster versus Godzilla, that would be the definitive version of Godzilla that we've seen so far in the MonsterVerse. Keep in mind, Kong was able to penetrate his skin with his axe. So his skin can absolutely, and not only penetrate it, Godzilla roared in pain. And whenever Kong punched the wound at one point, he roared in pain again. So bladed weapons absolutely affect him. So once you take into account that Striker Eureka, that is much faster than Godzilla as far as speed goes with his fighting and all of that kind of stuff, he has two bladed weapons, and Gypsy Danger has like the sword, the whip sword arms and all of that kind of stuff that's sharp enough to, it has sliced multiple kaiju clean in half. Godzilla's going to have a problem with Gypsy and Striker's blades. He just is. Plain and simple. The other thing that I'm going to say shows that they would stand a better chance is the MonsterVerse version of Mechagodzilla. You know, the original Mechagodzilla had alien tech. You could sit there and be like, well, the reason why it's so powerful is because it's not of this Earth, and we don't know what kind of technology was used, and da-da-da-da-da, and all that kind of stuff. The Mechagodzilla in the MonsterVerse was just a straight-up man-made machine. With the mind of King Ghidorah, mind you, but the gears and the ability and everything that it could do was straight up a man-made machine, just like the Jaegers were. Now, mind you, the director has said, Adam Wingard has said, that the reason Mechagodzilla curb-stomped Godzilla so bad in their fight is because Godzilla was exhausted from fighting Kong. That's another thing that the Godzilla fans don't really like to bring up or mention too much. They like to act like Godzilla just went through Kong like it was a walk in the park. The director has straight up said that is why he got wrecked by Mechagodzilla so bad, is because he was exhausted from fighting Kong. So just keep that in mind. So with those two things to talk about, with he's already shown to have trouble with a giant man-made tech that is roughly his size, and he has shown to have problems with bladed weapons and things like that. Just Striker and Gypsy alone would give him problems. You throw in Crimson Typhoon. Oh, wow, I completely even forgot about Crimson Typhoon with his spinning blades that come out of his hands and everything. So that's a third bladed kaiju that he would have to deal with. And then you have Cherno Alpha with just brute force of a nuclear warhead on legs, basically, which, you know, talked about Godzilla potentially absorbing the nuclear radiation from Cherno and Gypsy. But that aside, I don't think that's going to be enough to be able to stop the onslaught of those four Jaegers, three of them having blades coming at Godzilla. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. Now, that's only talking about the MonsterVerse version of Godzilla. Now, if you want to hear me start talking about, like, the Heisei version or Godzilla Earth or Shin Godzilla or anything, that's an entirely separate conversation. But strictly talking about the MonsterVerse version, one versus one on any Jaeger, Godzilla wins. And if the Jaegers actually team up, three of them, four of them, even just two, Gypsy and Stryker, I believe the Jaegers are going to take it. That's just my opinion on that. So, Dragon Crystal on Reddit, I certainly hope you enjoyed that answer. And so now, that's pretty much it for the kaiju stuff. So anyone who was here just to listen to the kaiju stuff, by all means, you can turn me off. You ain't got to listen to the rest of the episode. But for the rest of you that want to stick around, let's talk about Prey. So it pretty much goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is going to be a spoiler-filled review. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, do not listen to this review yet unless you're really cool with spoilers. But you guys know I'm a Predator fan. I've been a fan of Predator, the original Predator, since I was like 7 years old. I've seen all the movies. I've got all the books. I've got all the comic books. I've got a slew. I've probably got... There's been like 100 NECA Predator figures that NECA has done. And of those 100, I own about 80 of them. Like, I mean, I'm a big Predator fan. And prior to coming home to record this episode, I actually stopped at my local Books A Million because I saw that a new anthology Predator book had been released, which is a collection of short stories, and it's called Eye of the Demon. And it's similar, there's already another anthology short story collection that had been released that was called If It Bleeds, that came out a few years ago. But I wanted this new one. I went to BAM, tried to find it, and they showed it in their system, but they said it probably hadn't been stocked yet, and basically they didn't know where it was. So I said, okay, that's fine, I'll come back, you know, another time, no big deal. But yeah, so there's another book that I'm looking at getting. And it's also been announced that NECA will be doing a figure of the Feral Predator, which is the Predator that's in Prey. And I'm very excited for that. Can't wait to get that. Super, super pumped for it and all of that kind of stuff. That's going to be really, really cool. But anywho, Prey. Guys, I love the movie. I loved it. It's not perfect. I've got some issues with it here and there, but they're very small issues. So small that they're honestly hardly even worth mentioning. But nonetheless, they are there. But I loved the movie. First and foremost, the highlight of the movie, the number one thing I'm going to talk about, that I tell everyone, pay attention to her. She's going places and this and that. Amber freaking Midthunder. The girl nailed the role of Naru. Like, I loved her in it. Turns out I'd already seen something of hers before. There was a TV show called Banshee in which she played a Native American girl whenever she was like a teenager, like 13, 14 years old or something like that. And I hadn't seen anything with her since. And it's just me whenever like a new big actor is kind of popping up and everything, and I'm really impressed with what they did. I want to look back at some of the other movies that they've been in to see if I want to watch some other stuff, you know, and all that. And I was looking at her filmography, and it said she was in Banshee. And I was like, hold up, I've seen Banshee multiple times. It's one of my favorite shows. It's a very adult show. Lots of bad language, nudity, and all kinds of stuff. So just throwing that out there. Banshee, like the Irish mythology legend. It's the name of a fictional town in Pennsylvania. But if you're into that kind of stuff, like, you know, graphic on the level of like Game of Thrones or The Sopranos or something like that, definitely check out Banshee. I believe it's on HBO Max right now. But yeah, kids, stay away from Banshee. Don't watch it. It's bad. It'll scar you. But anywho, yeah, she was in it, and I was like, oh man, who'd have thought? But anywho, yeah, so I watched this movie. Emily was going to watch it with me because she knows I'm a big Predator fan, and I actually got her to sit down and watch the original Predator with me prior to this one. And she enjoyed it. It's not really her cup of tea. She's not into the big, like, over-the-top 80s action movies and all of that kind of stuff. So she was like, eh. You know, once it pretty much got to the point to where the Predator was hunting Dutch and the crew and all of that kind of stuff, then she enjoyed it a lot more because it added suspense and, you know, they're trying to figure out a way to outsmart the Predator and all of that kind of stuff, and she enjoyed it more. But, yeah, she was basically like, I want to watch Prey with you. And so she had a bad day at work. And, you know, take it or leave it, whatever. I don't know. You guys could say I was a bad fiance or whatever. She had a bad day at work. I get home. I already wait like about an hour, hour and a half. And this is the day that Prey premiered. And so I'm waiting and waiting. She finally gets home. Well, she wants to unwind for a little while. She wants to get a snack. She wants to play with the dogs, you know, this and that and all that kind of stuff. And the whole time I'm sitting there like, okay, come on, let's watch the movie. Like, you know, come on, quit playing around and all that kind of stuff. And then, well, you know, I've got some laundry that I got to do. So she did the laundry and the whole time I'm over there just bouncing like I'm ready to watch Prey, you know, like, come on, I've been waiting for this movie for forever. It's literally at my fingertips on Hulu. Let's do this. And then she's like, I'm going to go lay down for a little while. Look, I don't want you guys to think that she was just being difficult. She legit had a bad day. She had a bad, busy day. It was one of those days at work to where if anything could go wrong, it did go wrong. You know, she had been up at the same time as me, and I usually get up at 4:40 every morning. She got up at the same time as I did and come crawling back in at like 7 o'clock that evening. Had been working nonstop all day. She had like a 5-minute lunch break. Like, you know, she was legit wore out. Like, I don't want you guys to think she was just being difficult. but she said she wanted to just go lay down for a little while. Just take like a 30-minute nap or something like that. And so I told her, I was like, I'm watching a movie. I thought we were going to watch that together. I mean, yeah, I thought so too. But Emily, like, you have to understand, this is almost a lifelong franchise that I've been a fan of. I've been waiting for this movie. This is literally a combination of like my Native American heritage and one of my favorite film franchises of all time. I've got to see this movie. And so she, okay. And she went to go lay down and I sat there and I watched the film. And I did not take any breaks. I did not pause it, not once. I was glued to the TV the entire time it was on. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Amber Midthunder, again, stole the show. Loved her in this movie. Borderline fell in love with her. I told Emily, I said, if I ever meet Amber Midthunder, I tell you what, you're in trouble. because, I mean, she's a very welcome addition to the Predator family. You know, like you have Dutch, who has obviously defeated a Predator in the original. Danny Glover's character in Predator 2. And, you know, Adrian Brody's character in Predators. We're not going to talk about the Predator. And, you know, like, so for her to come out and be in this movie and all that, and I'm going to go ahead and say, there was a lot of negative backlash. You guys heard me talk about the negative backlash about how, oh, I just don't see how a little girl is going to be able to take down a Predator. Watch the freaking movie. It makes sense, okay? It's not, do not think that this girl the size of Amber Midthunder just goes up to a Predator and straight up wins in a one-on-one, like, free-for-all brawl with this creature and just beats him. She outsmarts him. She lays traps for him. She pretty much sees she spends just about the entire movie watching him, seeing how he hunts, how he moves, that he uses the trees, seeing how his technology works, and she's able to watch him do all of this because he literally does not deem her as a threat. He spares her multiple times in this movie, because basically he viewed her as a dishonorable kill. And he's like, you're not worth it. And he wasn't going to mess with it. And so that's why she was able to watch him and observe him. And then by the end of the movie, when the big climax is finally upon us and all of that, she finds a way to like hide her to where he can't see her with the mask. She actually like takes his mask from him and all of that kind of stuff. Like, she laid the perfect trap specific to this predator in this movie, which is the feral predator, which is the most brutal version of a predator that we've seen in a movie so far. Whatever I tell you, this guy ain't afraid of nothing. He ain't afraid of nothing. Like, you guys know that most predators, like, they're very much like projectile hunters with the shoulder cannons and all of that kind of stuff. Now, this guy does use projectile weaponry. Do not get me wrong. Feral does. But he very much prefers brute force, like one versus one fights. That's just what he likes. Like, with his wrist blades, like, he kills a rattlesnake with his wrist blades. He actually attempts to fight a wolf and kills the wolf with his wrist blades. He has a fight. He had the opportunity to like, catch a full-grown grizzly bear by surprise and kill it in a way that we've seen, like, the jungle hunter predator do, or even the city hunter predator do in the first two Predator films. And he decided to pretty much get this thing's attention and say, all right, let's go, square up. And he has a fist fight with a grizzly bear. And, you know, it makes you think, like, okay, the grizzly bear kind of got the better of him, but whenever he stands up and the bear sees that, oh, okay, we're still doing this, and charges at him, you pretty much know that Feral had enough. Because as the bear is running, he does one punch straight to the face, kills the bear. He has the strength to where then he lifts the full-grown grizzly bear over his head. The blood is like running down his cloaked camouflage self, so you can actually see him covered in blood and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, like, I was like, it was a brutal scene. I freaking loved it. So yeah, he fought that by hand. There were many times, like, he went up against some of the Native Americans. He went up against some French fur traders. Some of them he killed by using projectiles, but there were other ones where he just straight up, he's like, no, I'm just going to walk up to you and rip your head off. And that's what he did, and he was getting shot with bullets and arrows, and he was stepping in traps and, like, all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I also chalked that up to the reason as to why Naru was able to defeat him, Amber Midthunder's character was able to defeat him at the end of the movie, is because he had literally been through war getting to that point. He had fought a wolf, which drew blood. He fought a grizzly bear, which drew blood. He had been shot by arrows no telling how many times. Naru's brother had a pretty decent fight with him. Clocked him in the head one good time. He had been shot in the back of the head with a flintlock pistol, which that's cool. The flintlock pistol they tied from this film to Predator 2. Like, that was a really cool little nod. I like that. Which it does retcon a story that happened in the comics about how Greyback ends up. Greyback is the elder Predator, the clan leader that was in Predator 2 that gives the flintlock pistol to Danny Glover's character. But there was a comic that pretty much showed how he got the pistol. And so this movie kind of retcons that, and there's a lot of people that's not very happy about it or anything. yeah, been shot in the back of the head with a flintlock pistol. He was shot multiple times by muskets. He was shot multiple times by arrows. He stepped in a bear trap or just a regular trap at one point in time. He went through it in this movie. Like, do not think that even with her outsmarting him and planning and creating specific traps that were specifically made and aimed for Feral Predator in particular, like, these same traps probably would not have worked on Jungle Hunter or City Hunter or Scar from AVP. Certainly not Wolf from AVP Requiem. Like, it just would not have worked because they were geared specifically towards Feral. But, yeah, do not, even with her outsmarting him and doing the traps and all of that kind of stuff, do not think that that alone is what got her the victory. He was very, very wounded going into this fight. Like, he wasn't limping or anything, but you could, you know, he absolutely was not fresh. Like, at all. Yes, we see him, patching himself up with his little gun and all of that kind of stuff. But to me, you know, people are like, oh, you know, he patched himself up. He sealed up all of his wounds and everything. Yeah, okay, he sealed up all of his wounds. But that's the equivalent of, like, you getting a gash on your forearm, you going to the doctor and you getting stitches. Yeah, it's sealed up. It's stitched up. But guess what? Still freaking hurts, doesn't it? So just because he sealed up his wounds doesn't mean he was not in pain. And so, yeah, dude. Oh, wow. It was awesome. One thing I really, really liked about the movie is that they shot two different versions of the film. One in English, for those that do not like subtitles or anything like that. And they shot another version that was dubbed in Comanche. And so, you know, I watched the English version first. I debated on which version I was going to watch first, but I ended up picking the English version. And then the next day I started the Comanche version, but I wasn't able to finish it. And then yesterday I finished the Comanche version. Or maybe it was the day before. I can't remember. But yeah, like, so watched the finished the Comanche version. And I'm already ready to watch the movie again. I love it. I love the movie. Absolutely love it. Yeah, the dog, Sari, I believe is how you pronounce the name. That dog is a hot mess. That's Naru's little buddy, Amber Midthunder's character. You know, it's her little partner and all that kind of stuff. And the dog gets into a whole bunch of crap. There's one part where it makes you think that the dog might possibly die. The dog does not die in the film, by the way. But you think she might for a split second. And I was ready to rip my TV off of the wall if she died. Because I don't like, I don't do dogs dying on screen. I love dogs way too much. I think I've told you guys about the website called Does the Dog Die? And you can type up any movie that has a dog in it. And not only will it tell you if the dog dies or not, but if it does die, it'll let you know the scene and the timestamp. So if you want to just skip it and not see the dog die in that moment, you absolutely can. I have used that site more than once. And so, yeah, I have so many positive things to say about it. Left it wide open for a sequel. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know. There is somewhat of an after credit scene. Like, if you go to watch the movie, you pretty much see while the credits are rolling in, like, Comanche artwork, the movie just kind of playing out with the artwork. Stay towards the end of the artwork because that's where the teaser for the next film comes from. Like, to let you know kind of, like, what's going to happen and all of that kind of stuff. And then after that, there is no other, like, post-credit scene or anything like that. But yeah, some of the few issues that I had with the movie is sometimes the CGI looked a little too fake. The grizzly bear in particular did not look very impressive to me. There's a scene where, I honestly don't know, I need to look it up. Prior to the predator fighting the wolf, it's chasing a rabbit and it's running after the rabbit. Pretty much the whole scene with the wolf, like, it looks very, very real to me. The way it's running, the way it moves and everything. So I don't know if they legit had, like, a real wolf that they were having run and all of that kind of stuff. But it looks real enough to where I can't tell if it's fake or not. But then you see the bear, the grizzly bear, show up. And it's, like, very obviously, like, that's just a very poorly done CGI cartoon. Like, I mean, it did not look very good, in my opinion. But, you know, that's just me. So Naru, at one point, to figure out a faster way to get, She throws her tomahawk. She tries to hunt with her tomahawk a lot. And she throws it, and she was constantly having to go and get it and, like, get off course from chasing her prey and all of that kind of stuff to get the tomahawk. She wanted to come up with a better way to be able to get it back to her, so she tied a rope to the end of it, and whenever she would throw it, whenever it would stick in something, she would just jerk the rope, and it would come back to her. I've got no problem with that, except that it looks so fake whenever they actually go to do it in the movie. I'm talking like she will throw this tomahawk and it gets stuck in a tree. It is in there. If any of you country boys have ever took like an axe or a tomahawk or a hatchet and stuck it into a log and then tried to like pull it out, you know, sometimes you got to wiggle that thing a little bit. You got to bow up on it a little bit. They're like, you know, you grab the handle, push down first, then pull up and all that kind of stuff. Then you can get it loose. You guys know that. Whoever done the stuff for this movie obviously didn't know that, because she would throw that tomahawk, it would stick into the tree, and I'm talking she would just give the slightest little itty-bitty flick of her wrist on that rope, and not only would the tomahawk dislodge itself, but it would come straight back to her and she would catch it. And like, I mean, it was just some straight up, like, you know, I don't know, it was cartoony looking, in my opinion. But yeah. That's just one of the few issues that I have. There's another issue that I've got talking to Kid Kong. I was talking to him about it. There's a scene where if they eat petals, it's a certain type of petals that they eat, it cools their body, and that's how she's able to hide her body heat from the predator and all of that. But, I'm not even going to bring it up, because the more I think about it, the more I do come up with, well, maybe this or that. I might bring it up again in a future episode or something, but no, I'm not going to bring it up. But yeah, Prey, other than like the CGI, like the iffy CGI at times and all of that kind of stuff, great movie. Love the characters, love the plot, love the acting, love the fact there was a Comanche dub. Love the feral predator. He's become one of my favorite predators of all time, though my favorite predator of all time that we've seen in movies so far will be Wolf from Alien vs. Predator Requiem. I love Wolf. That dude, that's... Boy, he's bad. He is bad. So yeah, love the movie. My official ranking, I gave it 8 out of 10. Just to me, you know, I gave it 8 because I feel like... the runtime, I wish it was a little bit longer. There were some reveals that they did with the Predator to where I was kind of like, I wish they handled that a little bit better. The Predator is not near as big in this one as he has been in other Predator films and all of that kind of stuff. Not that big of a deal. But yeah, so that's why it got an 8. But like I said, there are complaints. I had issues with it. They're very, very minor. But yeah, 8 out of 10. Love it. Kids, again, it's an adult movie. Lots of blood, violence, gore, a little bit of cussing and all of that kind of stuff. You know, parents, definitely watch it first before deciding if you want to let your kid watch it and all of that kind of stuff. Not every parent was like my dad and let me watch an uncut version of the original Predator whenever I was 7 years old. I turned out fine. But not everybody does, so I get it. But all right, guys, that's pretty much my review of Prey. Probably gonna watch it again within the next few days. Yeah, very, very excited about it. Very excited to see what they do with the franchise. It broke a record. I saw it today. It became the highest, like the most streamed premiere in Hulu history, and that counts all movies and TV shows that has ever premiered on Hulu. Prey beat them out. Currently has like a 7.5 on IMDb, 80-something% score on Rotten Tomatoes for audience, like 90% in the 90s for critics. It's a hit. Predator is back. I hope they do it justice with the sequel. Don't give us another dud. Put the same kind of effort that they did into this one. Let's pick the Predator franchise back up and actually make this a good money-making big name franchise again. I'm all freaking for it. So, all right, guys, that pretty much does it for my review of Prey. Thank you guys for sticking around and all of that kind of stuff. If y'all want to talk about Prey or the Predator franchise in general, by all means, shoot me a message. Kaiju Carnage, Godzilla/King Kong Podcast on Facebook. Also, my Godzilla Ultima fan page on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. I am Cal, the Kaiju Guy. I will probably post tomorrow on my TikTok the new matchup, which will be the Ready Player One Mechagodzilla versus the 1998 animated Mechagodzilla. So get on my TikTok and go vote for that. And tune in this Saturday for my special episode that I'm going to be doing, which is in defense of Godzilla 1998. You guys are the best. You are the best fan base, listeners, whatever you feel like calling yourselves. Like, love it. You guys are awesome. You're the best. I would not be doing this without y'all. And yeah, we will catch y'all next time. This is Cal, the Kaiju Guy, signing out.